Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
All together. Amen. Amen. As our custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures and we want to read the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 25. Numbers 11, 25 to 29. Numbers chapter 11, verse 25. Okay. If Elder Prince is not there, I can read.
Numbers.
Are you there? All right.
Numbers chapter 11, verse 25.
All right.
Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took up the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders.
Okay.
And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp.
Okay.
One was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad, and the spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord will put his spirit upon them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That all the Lord's people were prophets. Psalm 105, verse 7 to 15. Psalm 105, verse 7 to 15. In case you have forgotten that you need to put your phone on silence, you can do that now so you don't get distracted or interrupt the flow of the service. Psalm 105 verse 7.
Psalm 105 verse 7.
To the verse 15.
Yeah. To 15.
Yeah.
He is the Lord our God.
Yeah.
His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When they were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm.
Can we read together the last verse? Saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. This scripture, we'll come back to it. Hallelujah. Our final reading, which I want all of us to read, please open to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. All of us, we're going to read it together. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's use the King James version so that we can all, because I believe that we all have King James. So 1 Samuel chapter 3, the verse 1. Are we all there? I hope we are all with the King James. Is that not it? Are you not with the King James? Hey, I can't find my King James. Found my King James. Let's go together. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It's on, we can now, I think our laptop is ready to work with us. We arrest every whatever is holding it. Amen. And it came to pass at that time when Eli... Oh, no. Just verse 1. Want to check it again? Can you change the background? Is it possible? You can change the background. Give us black. This is too. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. If you are using a hard copy Bible, I want you to take note of that word. Precious in those days. There was no open vision. It pleases the Lord that this morning we would receive from him a message that I have titled that all the lost people were prophets. That all the lost people were prophets. Hallelujah. Now, for a good following, I think we need a recap because there has been at least a week break in what we have been doing. So we are still on the journey of teach us to pray. As this year, our agenda is that God will teach us to pray. And we are still on our first sub-series, being the fifth message under our first sub-series called Men Ought to Pray. And we started this sub-series that word men ought to pray came as a result of a parable. And we established that in the teachings of Jesus, whenever he intend to reveal a kingdom secret, which we call what mysteries, in those days, because men do not have the capacity to receive the kingdom mysteries, he put those mysteries in what we call parables. So there are many parables that Jesus taught in his days. And one of those parables was what? Prayer. So if prayer was also part of the parables of Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 18, then it means that prayer is a kingdom mystery. So what makes prayer a kingdom mystery? And I gave you my own definition of mystery. Do you remember that definition? What? A precious what? Priceless what? Knowledge of the kingdom and the operations of the kingdom. So a precious, priceless knowledge of the kingdom of God and the operations of the kingdom is what I called mysteries. A secret about the things, how kingdom things are done and the kingdom itself. And the Bible said that prayer was one of those mysteries. So we decided to investigate why prayer is one of those mysteries. The first message that we took under this very sub-series was what? The big deal about prayer. The second thing we looked at is that prayer is a mystery because prayer is the medium or mechanism by which we connect to source. We remain in what? Relationship and effective in what? In purpose. Number three, we find out that it is by prayer we live what? The priesthood life. And last one we did before today is that ye are God's, establishing that we are kings by God's defined medium of a dominion. And by being kings, it is required of us that by prayer we are able to live toward the expectations of kings. You remember the three expectations of kings? Do you remember them? Do you remember them? That the king ought rules, exercise what? Judgment, and expand or defend what? Territory. And we find out that these three requirements of every king, it is by prayer that we are able to what? Leave these three requirements. So that is why Jesus said that men ought to pray. Because if you don't pray, you cannot exercise that what? Responsibility as a king. Now to continue from that place, I established that in the dominion mandate that God gave man, there are three dimensions or three offices that are within that dominion mandate. That is, for any man to be able to exercise dominion on this earth, there are three mandates. There are three dimensions that you must be able to have mastery of. Number one is what? Priesthood. Number two is what? The kingship. And then number three is what? The prophetic. And then we find out that because this is what God meant that man must rule the earth, the first ruler of the earth, which was what? Lucifer, was seen as a king and was also seen as a priest and had the spirit over him. Hallelujah. Are you there? And because this is a requirement, I told you that by our definition, by who we are before the presence of God, we are what? King, priest. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 said he has made us kings and what? Priests. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 said we are what? Royal what? Priesthood. So that is the basic understanding. We are what? Royal what? Priest. So the thing is that we in the sight of God, before God, anytime God wants to deal with that, he sees us as what? Kings and as what? Priests. And this is where the dominion mandate is being born from. And I told you that nobody can ever rule or ever live on this earth and have full satisfaction without dominion. Because God created man to what? To exercise dominion. Are you with me? Are we on the same page? Hallelujah. Are you on the same page? So now, we find out that dominion is in the three dimensions. We have looked at the priest. We have looked at what? The king. Today, we want to look at the aspect of what? The prophet. And we will find out that the dominion mandate to rule the earth has the aspect of prophetic, because it is by that office the Spirit of God can indwell a man or come upon a man. Numbers chapter 11 verse 29. Our first reading, we want to use that one to start our journey. Are we there? Okay. And Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the lost people were what? Prophets." They were what? Prophets. And what happened? "And that the Lord will put his Spirit upon them." So there is a desire in God that his Spirit will be put on man. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, in the creation story, that spirit that was man was not the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of man. We call it Kei. That is the Hebrew translation. It is your personal spirit. But God gave you that personal spirit that he can be able to find a place to put his Spirit on you. So when Joshua saw or heard that those who were not at the camp, you remember the beginning of the story, God asked Moses to choose 70 men? 70, right? That he would put the Spirit that is upon Moses on them. That is the Spirit of God. Now the issue was that it was 68 that was present at the camp when the Spirit of God visited them. And two were not in the camp, but their names were already what? Listed. There is something about God. The things of God sometimes do not respect geography. These two people were not in the camp, but the Bible said the Spirit of God found them and they started to prophesy. Then two people ran from the camp and came to tell Moses, "Moses, these two men were prophesying." Then their very faithful assistant said, No. "These people are not here. They can't prophesy. So my boss, go and forbid them." Then Moses told him that, "Don't be envious for my sake. There is a desire in God that you don't know, but I know it. That desire is that God wants all his people to what? Be prophet. And that when they become prophets, that his Spirit cannot rest upon them." So the Spirit of God is always looking. Let's move in quickly. Now, this is very important for us to understand, because in the creation story, Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, when man was to be created, it was a consensual agreement between three people or three personalities: the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Now, this is because when God was about to do, he said, "Let us create man." Then he continued, "According to our heart, likeness," not my likeness. Do you get it? "And according to our heart, our image." Therefore, the man factor that they wanted to create, or the product they wanted to create, that product must have the full expressions of the three of them. It was a joint project. Are you with me? So that joint project, when the Father comes, he must find some fulfillment in that project. When the Son comes, he must find that fulfillment in that project. And when the Spirit comes, the Spirit will also find a particular fulfillment in that project. This is what gave birth to the dominion principle of man. That the Father, the Son, and the Spirit can all have fullness in that project. So it was only man that statement was made, because the three personalities, the Godhead, looked for a means and a way that their representation can all be captured in one. Because what was the problem? There's no problem. What was the agenda? The agenda is that whoever we put on this earth must be in charge. And to be in charge, the person must have what it takes to understand the three of us, our works and our dealings. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So these three personalities are already operating a kingdom. They decided that they are going to expand their kingdom. Do you get it? That when they expand that kingdom will be what? Represented. Are you following me? So when they expanded that kingdom, They were looking for somebody to make sure to take care of that kingdom for them. For fairness sake, each of these three persons must have what? A full representation. So when they said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, they were talking about the three in one captured in what? In one. That's why man is a very wonderful creature. What was the satisfaction of the father? The father was looking for sons. Hallelujah. So when God was creating man, all that God was doing was that at the end of the day, I have sons. For ye are gods and the sons of what? The Most High. And that is the representation of the king dimension of dominion. If you read the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 19, the Bible said, creatures await. Let's read it. Are you following me? I'm bringing you to the aspect of the prophetic. Follow me. For the earnest expectations of the creatures await for the manifestations of what? The sons of God. This manifestation is talking about the rulership of the sons. So creation was misled. Creation, the act of Adam has caused creation. So creation from that day has been waiting that there will be a manifestation of sons. And when we talk about sons, we are talking about someone who starts in the full capacity. So the last time we met, we spoke about ye are what? Sons of what? The Most High. Talking about we being what? Kings. So the Godhead factor was looking for sons, was looking for what? Kings. What about the son? That is the father. The son. The son was looking for priests. So when they were creating, he was looking for a priest. That is bride. The bride of what? The groom. So you see that we are the bride of Christ. So he was looking for a priest. What are priests? These are people who have the technological knowledge of how to minister to the things of what? The spirit. See, there is a certain man in your village who by this time is sitting there and knows what exactly he can do to make sure that your life will never succeed. You don't know that technology. He knows it. That is why there can be a happening in the family. If he's not around, that thing will not stop. You see? if you like, you try him. I said, I'll teach you a lesson. He knows the technology. You see, you can go and call the names of your whatever idols, right? Do not respond to you. But when this man comes, he knows the technology he can activate that idols and powers that have been there for many years will respond to certain things. So when there's an issue, he has to what? Pour libation. Some of them, we call them abushampenyi. See, not every abushampenyi is just a mere abushampenyi. Some of them are priests. What makes them priests? There are altars in the family that spirits have taken residence upon them. And these altars, they have human personalities that have the technological knowledge on how to make these altars effective. So God also looks for man, okay, who can be able to minister to the technological knowledge of heavens. So that altars of God on this earth, and that is what Jesus came to do. He came that we will become his what? Bride. So if you read the book of Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1, let's read Hebrews 3 1. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. I hope we are functioning well. Elder Prince, you should be on standby. Okay. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of what? The heavenly what? Calling. Are you following? Heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our what? Profession. He's talking about, he said that our heavenly what? Calling. So what was our heavenly calling? They're calling to priesthood. He said, now you consider the senior man in charge. Who is what? Christ. So every believer is called to priesthood. And that was the desire of Jesus, because he is what? The chief priest. So when the Godhead were creating, the son was looking for a bride who will be able to provide the ability of what? Priesthood. That the sanctuary of God can be kept active. That it can burn incense. Do you remember that? So what about the spirit? The spirit, when they were producing the product called man, all he desired was a temple. First Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. And that temple captures the prophetic dimension of dominion. Are you following me? Are you following me? I want to let you know that in the dominion principle of you, there is an aspect called the prophetic dimension. And it's because of the project that the three Godhead had in mind. And each of them, their expression will be fulfilled in it. So these three things I've mentioned as the principle of dominion, priest, king, and what, prophet, is because of the desire and the agenda that three of them wanted to have so that they can rule the earth through man. So if one is missing, there cannot be dominion. Means that one of the Godhead is yet to have fulfillment in your life. Now let's read. So wherefore, holy brethren, we are still here. First, thank you. What? Know ye not that your body is what? The temple of what? The Holy Ghost. Are you with me? And he just said, which is in you, which is what? In you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Oh. Didn't he say your body is the temple of God? Said your body is the temple of what? The Holy Ghost. So the spirit is always looking for what? Temple. And the temple is what captures what? The prophetic what? Dimension of dominion. Why will I say that? It's because when Moses was trying to correct the ideology of what? Joshua. He told him that the Lord wants that all his people will be what? Prophet and his spirit. So anytime the spirit of God is looking for a man to rest upon, what qualifies that man is that man is a temple. And that's the prophetic dimension of every man. Said that the Lord desired that all his people will be prophets. And that his spirit will rest upon them. So, Paul was correcting the church on the issues of fornication. That if you have no any reason, know that this body, there is a spirit within your spirit who has found out expressing that. Do not disturb it. Because that has been his desire from the time of creation. They are still on the principle of what? Dominion. So, becoming a prophet is when your body becomes a temple, into brackets, an altar. So when a man becomes an altar, spirit comes upon it. I've already defined altar to you, so I don't know, but I'll say it again. Altar is any system or being it physical or whatever thing that is able to give a spirit a place of dwelling. Says that when they come here, there is no difference between where they were. You know that spirit, especially, last time I told that 80% of demonic forces rest in the sea, right? Are you following me? When they leave their place of abode, they look for a place that can give them the same feeling at their original place. So in the teachings of Jesus, Jesus said that when a man is possessed and the spirits are cast out, that spirit goes to what? Dry places. And he cannot be comfortable in that dry places. So it will come back to check. Because dry places, when we talk of dry places, we are talking of land. Are you with me? We are talking of what? Land. And you know that naturally, even your physical body is made up of 80% of water. Or is it 70%? 70% of water, right? So demons can have expression in you because when they leave that water, they come into another water. Physically. They don't like dry places. So we are talking about land. When they come to land, they'll come back and check where they were at first. Who gave them the same comfort of their place of origin? If it's still free. When it is free, this time they act wisely. To have full control of the place, they go back and look for seven more stronger than them. So, if he alone, it requires 7 hours to deal with him, he will look for somebody that will require you at least 24 hours to deal with. Another person that will require you 36 hours. Then another person that will require you at least 7 days. So, by the time you realize, so when they said, the Bible said, when they come back and they take over that place, you are in trouble. Why? Because altars give spirits the same place of residence as if they are in the earth. So when God wants to come on this earth, he looks for altar. And that is temple. That is what? Temple. And that is where the prophetic dimension of every man is what? Being born. So Moses was telling Joshua that, young man, hold it. There is a desire in the Godhead that they can have an altar, and that altar can give them the opportunity that the spirit of God can come. Are you on the same page? Are you on the same page? So this has been God's desire, which he made a promise in the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 28. Let's watch. John chapter 2 verse 28. That all God's people will be what? Joel chapter 2 verse 28. Have somebody propose? God is good. Hallelujah. He was in John chapter 2. The marriage of Canaan. Hallelujah. Receive it in Jesus' name. It shall come to pass afterward that I'll do what? I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. What will happen? And your sons and daughters will do what? Prophesy. So the pouring of the Spirit of God comes along with what? Prophecy. And has been God's desire. So dominion is not complete until that office or that dimension of prophetic is captured in you. And today we'll talk about prophetic here. Hallelujah. Prophecy. Hallelujah. The prophet of God is here soon. Hallelujah. You know, when this topic of prophecy here, I'm actually not going to go deep into, but I'm talking about it as part of our dominion mandate and how we can service it through prayer, live our life through prayer. Hallelujah. So, your sons and daughters will do what? Will prophesy. And this desire of God was fulfilled when man became a temple. Do you know how man became a temple? When Jesus met all the requirements and they became born again, now the Spirit of God was able to have his full expression. You know that he never had it in Genesis chapter 1? By Genesis chapter 3, it was the project was truncated. Do you know that man was not a finished project? Oh, you don't know? Oh. Okay, let me make it in a simple sentence. Man was a perfect project, but was not a complete project. I don't know if you understand the statement I make. Do you know you can do something and you come to a point, it is perfect, but you have not completed it? Have you been there before? Do you get it? So in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, man was perfect. But it was not a complete project. The completion of the project was when the Spirit is able to what? But that was truncated in Genesis chapter 3. The devil said, no, if I allow the Spirit to do, that means I don't have access. So the devil find a way to truncate the project. So from Genesis chapter 3 till Acts chapter 2 verse 4, all God was trying to do was to make sure that the project is restored for the full completion. That is why the new creature is the dangerous creation. You see, don't try the new creature. Because the new creature, I mean the born again Christian, is the complete and finished work, finished project of the idea God had in mind. So in Genesis, Acts chapter 2 verse 4, what happened? Let's see what happened. When the Spirit came, what happened? Are we there? Acts chapter 2 verse 4. Are we on the same page now? And they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. That desire that God mentioned through Moses, prophesied through Joel. Now it was all done. They were all filled with what? Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit what gave them utterance. Now, in the course of this discussion, we find out that the word prophecy simply means utterance. We'll get there. So, God has always looked for a way that He can put His Spirit on the people. But when the Spirit of God comes upon a person, that person becomes a prophet. That person becomes what? A prophet. And this desire of God has been very clear. Now, therefore, anybody who belongs to God, into bracket, a believer, is a qualified vessel for God's utterance to be passed through such person. In other words, any born again believer have that dimension of what? The prophetic upon their life. I think it's not true. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 31 and 32. Let's read the scripture. What Paul said. Paul was talking to the church of Corinth. And listen to what he said to all of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 31 and 32. Read. For ye may all church together. For ye may all one by. So Paul told the entire church that you can all prophesy. That all may learn and all may be what? Comforting. And the verse 32 even clears everything. And the spirits, not the spirit, of what? The prophets are subject to the what? So the entire church in Corinth, they were all prophets. Why? Because God desired that all his people were what? Prophets. And that his spirit would what? Be upon them. So Paul told the church of Corinth that you all may prophesy. You all have desired that you all prophesy. Because as long as you belong to God, you are already identified in the sight of God as prophet. That is why in the book of Psalm 105, verse 15, give me the verse 15. This scripture that I've been used to abuse people, let me explain it today and save you. Psalm 105, verse 15. What is there? Psalm 105, verse 15. We've already read it. Saying, touch not mine anointed and do what? My what? Prophets, no harm. He was talking about the people of Israel. Now, when you read from the verse 5, the verse 7, as we read, I hope you read it. He was talking about his covenant with Abraham, his covenant with Isaac, that is everlasting. And he continued to say that, and the promises he made that he will give them allotment of the land of Canaan, he lived to fulfill it, that he rebuked kings for their sake, telling the kings that you should not touch my anointed. He was talking about the people of Israel. And do my prophets. So the entire nation were what? Prophets. Because ye all may what? Prophesy. This scripture is not talking about the office of a prophet. So anybody who belongs to God, in the sight of God, because of the dominion mandate, God sees you as a prophet. So you see, that is why you have to be very careful. Because there is a scripture back in that, touch not my anointed. And do my prophets what? And he was talking about the elect. Are you elect? Are you elect? This is enough scripture to deal with people. Sometimes when I see government authorities and people messing up and I remember this scripture, I take it easy. Because we can finish them with this scripture. He said he rebuked the kings. Not mere people. He rebuked what? Kings for their sake. Saying that out. So if you do something that touches me, mess up God's agenda with my life, and I stand on this scripture, Lord, you have exalted your way above even yourself. If indeed you spoke this word that your elect, we are your anointed, and you harm should not come to your prophets, then you puke these kings. Do you know why I said leaders in authority fear Christians? And because we are gullible in this generation, that's why they're taking advantage. Because when they know that when Christians understand their place in this world and they take their stand, they are nothing. I've given you one scripture. That's why your family witch wizard cannot touch you. See, he said that was he rebuked. God will rebuke them. Touch not my anointed. He was talking about the elect. Sometimes when they try to do that, God remind, do you know he's my prophet? Hallelujah. So this idea of prophets is, I'm coming, okay? In God's sight, is part of our dominion or mandate. And that everybody who is elected by God, the Lord wished that we were all prophet. That desire was met when Christ came to die. So everybody in the sight of God is a potential vessel, a capable vessel by which the utterances of God can be taken through. Now, what is prophecy? Talking about prophecy, so let's help us. What is prophecy? Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Amen. Now, have I convinced you that we are all prophets? Who is not convinced here? But we will get there. You know the differences, okay? Yeah. We are all university students, but when you enter the university, you find out that there are different programs and courses. Is that not it? So when you say those who are in Legon, when you get up, I'll find some who are in medicine, some are doing mathematical science or whatever. Yes. Some are doing a Greek, some are doing dendrology, some are doing psychology. Hallelujah. But we are all in what? University of Legon. So we are all prophets. But when you enter the prophetic school, you find out that they are ranks, there are definitions. So now let's find prophecy. Prophecy simply means, this is the definition that our Father and the Lord Apostle Joseph Mitchell gave us. Prophecy simply means God speaking to his creation, which you are part, including man, through a vessel. So anytime we say there is a prophecy, what we mean is that there's an utterance that God is speaking to what? His creation. Speaking to us throughout a vessel. That's prophecy. Therefore, prophecy can be called a declaration of God's mind. What is in God's mind, he declares, is prophecy. Why? Because God is a speaking God. From the very chapter of the first book in the Bible, we see him speaking, and God said. So God is a speaking God, so he always speaks. The moment he speaks through a vessel to his creation, that speaking is called prophecy. Hallelujah. You know that when the president of Ghana stands to address us, it's a different, there is a name for God, the state of the nation's what? Address. It's not any normal speech. When our president speaks to us, we call the state of the nation's what? Address. When a newscaster, a journalist is on the TV speaking, we call her, she's doing us what? She's what? Giving us what? News. Is that not it? When God is speaking to us through a vessel, we call that what? Prophecy. Is that clear now? Mm-hmm. So a prophet is anybody who is a vessel, a means by which God is able to speak to us. Hallelujah. Let's continue. God's nature is that he declares the end from the beginning. Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10. This is a very popular scripture we all know. Isaiah chapter 46 verse 10. Declaring the end from what? The beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I'll do according to what? My pleasure. The nature of God is that he declares the end from what? The beginning. This is how prophecy is being born. That's why we are expecting something to happen in the sight of God. It's already what? Done. So before God will do something, he declares it. And this is how prophecy is born. So God has already made you a billionaire. He will tell that you are a billionaire. You have not seen it, but he has done it. And that is prophecy. This is the nature of prophecy. Are we on the same page? So do you understand prophecy now? God, he has already declared the end from the beginning. Things that are not yet done, it is done. But we say it to you. And we are already, today we are talking about it. That when God speaks, your cooperation will bring it to what? Reality. Hallelujah. Okay. So, let me quickly go through this thing. Actually, it was something I wanted to skip, but I think it's very necessary. Things that are similar to prophecy, but not actually prophecy. There are two things. Number one, preaching and word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Preaching and word of wisdom are not prophecy because of what? The medium of reception and the mechanism of delivery. Number one, when you want to preach, you prepare, because you can see I have notes over here, right? I'm looking through the note. Means that I sat down prepared. Then I come to what? But you don't prepare to prophesy. You only yield. Are you with me? Because number two, preaching takes the consciousness of your mind. Prophecy does not require the consciousness of your mind. You can't just get up and said you think about what you want to say, and that is prophecy. No. Prophecy is when God arrests your spirit and speaks through your spirit that the mind cannot be a barrier. Hallelujah. Have you seen people prophesying before? Prophet, do you think about what you say next? No, you can't think about it. Because it's not you are not the one generating it. So you are the projector. God is just projecting the thing through you. But preaching, it requires your mind. I have to know where to start from and how to end. Systematically. Are you following? So preaching is not, but you will find out that in the course of preaching there can be what? Prophecy. We will get there. Preaching is not, but in the course of doing that there can be what? Prophecy. Either word of wisdom is what? Knowing what will happen in what? In the future. Sometimes God can reveal things to you in visions and dreams. Until God has asked you to say it, or until God declares it to you, it is not prophecy. And it's not everything that God shows you that he wants you to see. So you see the difference now? So prophecy is what God is saying now through a vessel to us. That is it, simple and short. Are we there? Are we there? Amen? Amen? Now, follow me very well, because this part is very important. What are the outlets of prophecy? When I mean outlets, what are the... Okay, the word I will use is still outlet. I don't have any other word. Hallelujah. Now let me explain the word outlets I'm talking about. Now, for we to know that this is a prophecy, what are the channels it comes from? We're going to look at four channels of God's prophecy. Four broad. Number one, the first one, that which is the highest one, is the Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy written in scriptures. Yes. It's one channel. And this is the highest one. These prophecies are mostly about the things that Jesus will come to do, which he has done some and yet to do. Are you following? So it talks about the redemption and the restoration project of Jesus. These were given by the prophets of the old. And this is the most authentic and sure prophecies of God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the character of Bible prophecy. Bible prophecies are sacred and can never fail. There is no prophecy in scripture that will ever fail because they are backed by God's integrity. Because it's backed by God's integrity, he made men to write them down. That's why they are written down. And because it is backed by God's integrity, these prophecies were given by the Spirit of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 11. The Bible said the prophets of the old, they prophesy out through the Spirit of Christ. There is no single word in the Bible as God's utterance prophecy that will ever fail. Forget it. It will come to pass. It is sure. So if we want to know what prophecy is, the first source we can engage and know prophecy is the Bible prophecies. Now the question is, what is the use of Bible prophecy? Bible prophecies are God's clock to the church or to his elect. Clock. Time. You see, God does not use our watch. He uses prophecies. It is in the Bible. So, if in the time of Jesus, Jesus told them on the mount that when the end time is near, this and that and that and that. Do you know that when Jerusalem was attacked and the temple was brought down, historians have it that not even a single Christian died? Because Jesus gave them a chronological order by which it will happen. As we sit here, that's why you have to study. See, if you are here, I'm not listening to the, or you are not partaking the Blessed Hope, that retreat, go and get it. You can get that Apostle 17 up, go and listen. See, that is how you study Bible prophecy. Everybody must be a student of Bible prophecy because they are clock. They tell us the things that are yet to happen. They can give you certain prophetic decodings. If you are done doing that, there are certain people who read the books of Rejoiner. That man is a man who is able to decode Bible prophecy. You can also look for the book of Perry Stone. They are people that I know have read their books and they help you to understand Bible prophecy. But I said, go and listen to the Blessed Hope. The Bible prophecy serves as a clock. So if you are here, you should know how close we are to the second coming of Jesus, because the Bible prophecy outlined them. If you read the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 1 to 4, it gives us a chronological order of the second coming of Jesus. After that, there are a lot of scriptures. So when you see them happening, you know that, oh, the next thing happened. There's no way we cannot say that we don't know when Christ is coming. Through Bible prophecies, we can predict the second coming of Jesus. That is our clock. God gave them to us as our clock. He gave to the people of Israel as a clock. So if you read the book of Matthew, you see that, and he said, and it came to pass as Elisha has prophesied that he'll be born in Bethlehem. Are you following it? So those who are very sensitive, that's why Anna and what is the name of the other man? Help me, God. Simeon was able to know that it was Jesus who was born. They track it from the Bible prophecy. When they saw the timing, the happenings, and everything, they knew that, no, this is Jesus. Some of us, there are certain things that happen around that it will take Bible prophecy for us to know that God is what? He's speaking. Hallelujah. Number two, the Spirit of prophecy is our second outlet by which prophecy is received or we engage prophecy. Now, what is the spirit of prophecy? Any utterance released from God is made by the spirit of prophecy. Therefore, any spirit inspired utterance, listen to me, spirit what? Inspired utterance, releasing the person of God, number one, the power of Jesus, principles and character of Christ, is called prophecy. Under this umbrella, we can even call prayer prophecy. So if I pray under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and I make utterance, the Bible said, because of our infirmities, we don't know how to pray. But the Spirit Himself make it out intercession through groanings. Sometimes when those groanings are interpreted as words, that words becomes what? Prophecy. So sometimes you can pray without understanding. That is not like you are praying and then, oh, like you speak in tongues and then you say words. No. See, there's a way you can pray in tongues and then you begin to receive interpretation of the tongues. That's what Paul was saying over there. When it begins to happen at that moment, that is the spirit of prophecy at work. That utterance is prophecy. So what you can pray, you can prophesy through prayer. You can be preaching or teaching, and then the Holy Spirit will inspire a word through you, and that word will become prophecy. Hallelujah. So the spirit of prophecy sponsors all utterances that is intended to communicate Christ. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Anything that releases the person, power, principles of Christ through utterance can only be made possible by the spirit of prophecy. Let's read. And I felt at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am the fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Is the spirit of what? So anybody who testify of the personality, the character, the power of Christ, spirit inspired word, at that instant is what? Prophesying. And this is as a result of the spirit of what? Prophecy. Are you following? Follow me very well. Okay. So, not everywhere that when a pastor is preaching in church belongs to everybody or is inspired. Are you following me? But you said there is something that pastor will say or a statement that pastor will make through preaching or teaching, and it will hit you so strong. Have you been there before? Sometimes it will be the only thing that you heard in the church that day. That very word is a prophecy to you. That is why when we are coming to preach, we spend time to pray, not because we don't know what to talk about, but because there's an utterance that God wants. So if you people are, those of you who are an ardent student of Apostle Rumi, you see that you can say that you'll be teaching and say, hey, now I feel the anointing. At that moment, he's trying to say that whatever I'm saying now is prophecy. We all feel that. Sometimes when I start preaching, and I know when it comes, I know. It is different from the note that I prepare. And I always wait for that moment, because that moment is meant to shape somebody's life. It's a prophecy. An utterance for God, from God to somebody. This is possible through the spirit of what? Prophecy. Amen. So that is about the spirit of prophecy. Do you get it now? So any spirit inspired word that communicates Christ. I hope you know Christ. So that communicates the lordship of God, the revelation of Jesus, as the scripture has given here. At that instant, it's called what? Prophecy. So at that instant, that I said, you can be praying and the spirit can arrest you and then interpret himself through you and becomes prophecy. The third one is the gift of prophecy. This is ability given supernaturally by the Holy Spirit to release utterance on the spur of a moment. I've already preached on this topic, so I'm not going to dwell here. I'll move on. If you look for the what sub-series was that? Under the what we did last year? Help me, what did we do last year? The communion of the Holy Spirit. There was a sub-series that I talk about these various aspects of the Holy Spirit. I spoke about the gifts of the Spirit. Remember that? I spoke about the vocal gift, the revelatory gift, the power gift. Is that not it? I spoke about this, so you can find it under the vocal gift. Amen. So this is the ability. So this one, what is the difference between this and then the spirit of prophecy? The difference is that this one, you are there and then you see that the person will be arrested instantly. Most of you call it mema mema. Hallelujah. Have you witnessed that? But the spirit of prophecy can. Sometimes you don't even notice. You will not know, but you see that these words are inspired. That's why I use the word inspired. Communicating Christ. That is prophecy. But the gift, that one is a supernatural ability that comes up in that moment. You see the person, some people, you can break them into tears. You see, the person has no control over himself. That is. Now, one of the character of this gift is that, or this operation of prophecy channel or outlet of prophecy, that when it is being released, both the speaker and the hearer understand the language that is being used. So I can't speak French as prophecy to you when you don't understand French. At that time, that is not a prophecy. Until there is an interpreter. Hallelujah. So this kind of prophecy, you don't think about it. It comes directly from your spirit, and you are not mentally prepared for its release. It is always compared to the gushing out of water. John chapter 7 verse 37. Out of what? Your belly shall flow streams of what? Living, or rivers of what? Living waters. So you don't have control over it. Hallelujah. I just want to rush through these things because they are actually not there. I just want you to know. So I've spoken about we are all prophets. I'm talking about prophecy and the outlets of what? Prophecy. Are we there? I'll teach about the office of the. I'll teach about prophecy and prophet, but not today. Then we have the last one, which is what? The office of what? A prophet. That is where ESQ is operating. Now, the office of a prophet is for a matured believer who has. Of a prophet is for a mature believer who has been called into ministry to function in this office. Every believer can prophesy under the influence of the spirit of prophecy and the gift of prophecy, but the office is for mature believers. And I'm going to see what they do. Number two, there are ranks and levels of authority in the office, but there are no ranks in the gifts. There are no ranks in the spirit of prophecy. But when it comes to the office, there are ranks and authorities. Are you all there? Prophets in the office of a prophet do not necessarily prophesy. In fact, I can tell you that most of them don't prophesy. You are shocking. Prophets may not prophesy. I've already explained prophecy to you. Are you following? So that they'll be arrested and then they'll give utterances. It's not most of them who do that. Can I ask the prophet of God, he will tell you. Amen. So, but believers what, can prophesy. So they are believers, they cannot prophesy. But the office of a prophet, they not necessarily prophesy. Giving that utterance, public speaking. No. But you will know how they operate when we get the hallelujah. Now, I've spoken to you about God's idea that we are all prophets. I've defined to you what prophecy is, right? And how prophecy can be released, the outlets of prophecy. Now, the role of prayer in leaving this office. At least, every believer is required to operate under the spirit of prophecy and the gift of prophecy. Every believer. Our words must be spirit inspired. We must give utterances that it is from God. Living a prophetic life cannot be done without prayer because, one, the first time the word prophet was mentioned in the Bible, it was related to what? Prayer. Genesis chapter 20 verse 7. Now follow me very well. Those of you who go to churches where they are not intense, practical prayer life, people take microphone and then they start to prophesy to you. Be careful. There cannot be a prophet without prayer. When we seek to express this dominion mandate of our life as prophet, having the ability to declare the counsel of God, one of our identity, what makes it possible is that we have a prayer life. Now, therefore, restore the man his what? His wife. For he is what? Oh, church, I'm reading. For he is what? He is what? What will he do? And he shall pray. The Bible didn't even say he will prophesy to you. This was about Abraham. God called him prophet. And this was the first time the word prophet was what? Mentioned. The word prophet was mentioned. And when the word prophet was mentioned, what they said about him is that he would pray. Therefore, living the life of a prophet as our dominion mandate is a life of prayer. God could have called him anything. Do you know that God called him a friend? He could have told that he is my friend and that he will pray for him. No, but God wanted the man to know who he is. In terms of his dominion mandate, he told him he's a prophet. And in his place as a prophet, he cannot pray for you. Do you know why Abraham had the right to hold God on ransom for the matter of Sodom and Gomorrah? Because he was a prophet. See, there are certain matters you cannot tackle if you're not a prophet. There are certain negotiations you cannot make in the spiritual realm, you're not a prophet. The king of Egypt was told that your restoration is in his prayer. Though you didn't do anything wrong because you acted in ignorance, you have already committed certain in spirit, and it will take a prophet to pray for you to get things right. And they came, a whole city was in danger. And he said, adventure, if you get 40 people, he said, okay, wait. He stood in that office of a prophet to make negotiations with God. It is only prophets who know that the one who call himself prophet, so the one God calls them prophet, that he said, I can't hide things from them. Shall I have this thing from my friend? So show me a prophet and I'll show you a patterned, defined prayer life. Any man who cannot justify his life in prayer is not qualified to be called a prophet. And I'm here to tell you that you can never express your prophetic mandate if you don't pray. Because the first time prophet was called in the Bible, it was connected to what? The law of first mention. If you think what I'm saying does not make sense, go and find about theology, the law of first mention. In theology, if you want to interpret scripture, the law of first mention is very important. When something is mentioned in the Bible for the first time, what was it mentioned about for? Prophet was connected to prayer. If that is not enough, let me give you a second example. The man figure who represents the prophetic dimension was a man identified as a praying man. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Now, if you look in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament is subjected into two, or is summarized into twofold. The law and the what? The prophet. The Bible said both the law and the prophet were all fulfilled in what? Christ. The law is a representation of what? Moses. But the prophet is the representation of what? Elijah. That's why on the mountain of transfiguration, it was both the law, the spirit, and the letter that produced the transformation. This man that represents the prophetic dimension, when James was talking about him, what did James say? Elias, I'll not say Elijah. King James called him Elias, was a man subjected to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. The next verse. And he did what? He didn't pray once. The Bible said he what? Prayed again. So if the man who represents the office of the prophetic is called a man of prayer, how can you operate in that office if you are not praying? You want God to speak through you. You want to have the counsel of God being channeled through you. Then I'm here to tell you that you will never have that opportunity. That you will be a vessel for God's utterance to come out until you understand the place of prayer. Nobody, no prophet of the old had ever the opportunity to stand as the speaker of God. So because a prophet declares the counsel of God, as I read in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 verse 10, he said, "My counsel shall stand, declaring the end from the beginning." So the prophet declares God's counsel, God's mind, as an utterance. It shall come to pass. You can't stand in that portfolio to declare God's counsel if you are not a praying person. So when Jesus said men ought to pray, he was also telling us that to be able to fully operate in our office of a prophet as part of our dominion mandate, we must know that without prayer, we cannot be effective prophet. It is not only in priesthood. We burn incense. That's why I'll teach you. I said I'm going to teach you how in priesthood we pray, how as kings we pray, and how as prophet you ought we pray. That's why you don't know how to pray. When the Bible said, see, you all agree with the scripture, said we ought to know how to pray. Yeah, do you agree now? But the spirit, now you agree. Because there are many dimensions to the protocol of prayer. When we pray amidst, the scripture didn't lie, we pray amidst. Because there are certain situations, it will take the prophetic office of you to deal with it. You must be able to dive. That's why sometimes we pray, not because we pray because we want to receive the counsel of God. Oh. Not to exercise judgment. Some of you, that's why your prayer orientation is not yielding fruit. When was the last time you prayed to receive the counsel of God? David called it the prayer of inquiry. We will get there. So bring me the air for that I may inquire of God. When was the last time we were able to inquire of God and get the exact thing that God wants you to do? It takes the prophetic. The moment you decide to make an inquiry of God, it means that you have switched on your prophetic office in terms of dominion mandate. And when you succeed to make an inquiry from God and you are able to get that information, when you come down as a king and you do justice to it. Do you know the most expensive commodity in the world is information? Do you know why America is the most powerful nation? Because they have information that America. Do you know one of their chief intelligence officer? I don't know if they've changed him. He's one slim man be with a spectacle. I said, if the one heading military intelligence. And I said, so this is what he had. This is what is required over there. Not this. Do you know why Israel? It's a nation that you shouldn't play with. Because their tool of trade is information and technology. When a man is able to put on his prophetic mantle, activate that office. Do you know what it takes to have superior advantage? Downloading information ahead. Sometimes you see, ask yourself, how could Elisha stay in his place and know what the king of Syria was planning in his bedroom? I pray for you. That you will begin to walk in this dominion mandate. You will begin to walk in this dominion mandate. That one day you walk into that village and said, I knew you planned this last week that you wanted to do this. But I received divine counsel and I already intercepted. Oh, Calavado, sire. Some of you lecturers have planned to fail you. Do you know that if you switch on to your prophetic office as a dominion mandate, you can buy into... God gives a Paul. If you say, I'm lying, ask Daniel. Ask Daniel. An exam was set without his notice. And result was already given. Where they have already failed him. And they are going to deal with him. He said, in fact, this question, I didn't have no answer in it. I didn't give solution. But if the king requires, then let me show him that there is a chief examiner. I will consult him for the questions and answers. The Bible says at midnight, the Lord gave the dream to Daniel. See, if dreams of Nebuchadnezzar can be revealed, how much more your lecturer's question that he was typing? That familiar spirits were all around seeing it. Ask Prophet Jericho. But you are here when he came to say it. That there's one paper B. They are trying to do something, but he has received the question. When he went, he came, what he meant, he came to show it to us here.
He's using his office very well. You are here crying, hey, and this subject is difficult. It is dominating you because you have refused to walk in your dominion mandate. That ye were all prophets. There is a secret in your business. You see, it was the prophetic mandate of Jacob that was tuned in that night when God showed him how to prosper in his uncle's house. 20 years, the man was cheated. Until one day, God gave him a revelation. I pray for you. Don't see, information is the most important thing. See, God will tell you one thing, just one thing that God will tell you, your life will change in a spell of a moment. An utterance from God. An utterance. That's why the devil is attacking the prophetic dimension of everybody. Because when you live up to your prophetic dimension, David was very fearful because the guy knew how to download informations. When they took the wife and everything, he said, bring me the effort. Say, Lord, shall I go? Will I reach them? Will I conquer? He said, go. You pursue and overtake. Whilst the other soldiers were tired and weeping, David already knew what to happen in the outcome. Do you know how it feels when you already know the answers of a question and you are solving them? Let me see over here. Who has ever had that experience before? Good. You saw, especially mathematical questions, you solve the question, you came in the same thing. No, is it like you become a calculator by force? You don't even need to calculate. That is how the life of the believer is. When you turn on your prophetic mantle, you are able to assess divine information. The Bible says, for he that is coming from above is above all. I pray for you. Today, go back and know that ye are a prophet of God. That the utterance of God will come through you. That God will use you to communicate his intention. Declaring the end from the beginning, saying that my counsel shall stand, and as I do, as I please. Finally, the dangers associated with neglecting this office of the prophetic. If you refuse to attend to this dominion mandate of you, what happens? I want to do this quickly, although it's quite. I'm going to do it. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Anytime we shut down this outlet of our dominion mandate, what happens is that the word of God becomes precious. And today I'm going to explain to you what it means that the word of God is precious. I'm going to explain to you. At this, I may not be able to tackle all of them, but I'll give you some qualities of preciousness of God's word. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was what? Precious in those days. When we say the word of God is precious, is that the functionaries of prophecy is no more active in a particular judiciary. When we say the word of God is precious, it's not because there is no Bible, because there was a priest who had the law, which was the word of God. This word of God we are talking about prophecy, the utterance of God. And when we say it is precious, what it means that the functionaries, what prophecy is designed to do, we cannot see them happening. That is when it becomes precious. When we say something is precious, it also means scarce. Is what? The scarcity of it. Is that not it? What makes something scarce? It means that what it does exactly, it is not easily to get it to do it for you. Do you know why gold is a scarce commodity? Because if you get gold, what gold can do for you? Brass cannot do it for you, even though it looks the same. So the preciousness of the word of God is it simply means that the functionaries of prophecy are no more seen. Even though the word of God is there, we don't see the functionaries of the prophet of prophecy, the utterance of God. And what are these functionaries of prophecy? The functionaries of prophecy is in seven dimensions or operations of prophecy. Seven. Anytime prophecy or a prophet ministers or prophecy comes, it has these seven dimensions. Number one, we have the edification dimension. exhortation dimension. We have comfort. These three operate in the gift of office. The gift of prophecy. Do you get it? The gift of prophecy, sorry. These three, that is where it operates. The spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, when they come and they are doing their job as the functionaries of the word of God, they bring edification, they bring exhortation, they bring comfort. Now, when the office of the prophet is actively working, you will find out that these four other things are common, or they are working. Number one, there is predictive or revelation. Prediction or revelation. There is revelation. Number two, there is direction, directive. The directive dimension of prophecy. Number three, the rebuke dimension of prophecy. And number four, the creative dimension of prophecy. Any prophecy that comes from God must fit into this seven function, at least must yet do one of these things. And I said the first three is in relation to the gift of prophecy and the what, the spirit of what, prophecy. The last one is talking about what, the office of a prophet. That's why I was saying that the office of a prophet is not about to edify you, to exhort you, or to comfort you. It's either in to direct you or give you revelation or be creative or be what? Bring God's rebuke. I will dwell on the first two because the office of the prophet is something else we will talk about. All of us are given the opportunity to minister under that, the spirit of prophecy. Is that not it? And the gift of prophecy. So let's dwell on that three area. When the word of God is precious, it is because prophecy is no more giving edification. What is edification? It means that the hearers are not built up. Edification means being built up. It builds. Edify, you are being built up. So, when prophecy comes, utterance, it builds up your faith, it builds up your spirit, and it builds up your stature. When the word of God becomes precious, you will find out that people are not being built in the church anymore. We are now having faithless generation who believe in the systems of the world more than what God has said. Any prophecy that will not let you believe in God, your faith will not grow in God, it is not God. Because that's why I said, when we say the word of God is precious, it is in this dimension. See, we have a lot of prophets in our generation, but what is the definition of people's faith now? The things that the believer believes in is not far different from the things that the secular person believes in. But they receive prophecies all the time. If indeed it's prophecy, it should build you up. To what extent has your faith been built? To what extent has your stature? Your stature in Christianity. See, you see a believer and the same thing that is killing unbelievers is killing them. Let a believer and unbeliever go and look for a job and see the model both of them will take. The one that the believer will do will not be different from what the unbeliever will do. You look for a ways to pay a bribe. If you have received prophecy, and it is the word of God, you will see that it will what? Edify. It will build you up. That is why the church is dead now. You see, do you know why people are depressed? Because nothing is edifying them again. Somebody can be in the church for many years. What the pastor is preaching is not inspired. It doesn't reveal Christ. Ministers of God are no more preaching under the inspiration of the spirit of prophecy anymore. So they come, they go for their notes, they do whatever they do, no prayer life, nothing to wait on God. They stand in front of you and they lecture you. They don't feed you. So you see that the Holy Spirit is not giving permission to what? That's why the time, not that the time is not good. You see, they'll come here and then, oh goodness God, Jesus, I pray for you. That you will sit under spirit-inspired words that will reveal Christ to you. Because when you know Christ, the Bible says, but we all with an open face, beholding us in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. If your yesterday is the same as today, you are in trouble. I can tell you confidently, you are not sitting under spirit-inspired words. If indeed the spirit of prophecy is operating in the church, you will see the faith of people growing. You will see the spirit of people grow. You see that they are growing in stature. The things that they used to do, how they see things, their worldview will change. Their perception will change. Because that's what the Bible said. For see, this one will bring a revelation of Christ. It said, for the spirit of prophecy is the revelation of Christ. Nobody encountered Christ and remained the same. On the road of Emmaus, when their eyes were open and they saw Jesus, they were not the same person. When Paul encountered Christ, which inspired words are you listening to? The reason we are not taking dominion is that now we lecture people. It's not spirit filled. That's why you have to use gimmicks to get people to church. Time. Number two, I said I'll talk about prayer. Exhortation. The functionary of prophecy is that it brings exhortation. So when the word of God becomes precious, it means that the people are not exhorted. What is exhortation? Exhortation means to motivate or renew the spirit of a person. So when you are motivated, what it means that you are refreshed. Do you know that this world can be very weary? From Monday to Saturday, the things you have gone through, you are weary, and you come to church and there is nothing that has happened to your spirit and your soul. You sat under a dry atmosphere. The spirit of God was not there. So what came to you was not spirit inspired. Because if it was spirit inspired, you'll be refreshed. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord. Do you know we are waiting on the Lord over here? They shall do what? Renew their strength. They shall walk strong. Are you renewed every Sunday when you go to church? When you go for Christian garden, are you renewed? Are you refreshed? Then you stand there, people come and do comedy and you laugh. Bonsem. Therefore, no. Shit. And you go home and the things that used to buffet you will come back again even stronger. I pray for you that all his people will be prophets. That all his people will be prophets. Sometimes, see, under this presence of the spirit of prophecy, see that God will give you an utterance that will just refresh you. Sometimes it can be, I love you. That alone can relieve you of many things. Do you know why the olden days people want to go to church? Because they know that they'll be exalted and they'll be murdered. They'll be edified. Exhortation. Motivated. Renew spirit. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Your spirit is renewed. Because see, we are in a world where there are a lot of arrows that come at you at any time, every day. When you come to church, people go back depressed. Because there's no prophecy. That's why now you don't see this one I said, mema anymore. We have killed it in the church. But do you know those days? That is how people's hearts were revealed. How God reached out to many people. I pray for you. See, we are in those times that you can't take your Christian life for granted though. You must know where you are. You can't come to church and go back not renewed, not edified. It is cancerous to your life. I said it's what? Cancerous. Cancer. How will you feel if the burden of yesterday is still there and they add today's own to it? So the believer comes to church for the whole year. And do you know that many Christians are more depressed than even those who are not going to church? Because the spirit of prophecy is not working anymore. Gift of prophecy is not working anymore. The atmosphere is dry. The spirit of God is no more. Temples are no more functioning. So in the very words of Daddy Joe, he said, prophecy are therapeutic. In the very words of Apostle Joseph, he said, prophecy are therapeutic. Have you ever called somebody to give the person a word from God and the person broke in tears before? It heals the emotions of the person. It heals the soul. It heals the spirit. It gives the person hope. Do you know that is what God has called you to become? That through you, He will give a word to this young man that will be therapeutic to him. You declare his counsel to you. Some of you are the reason why some of us have life have become like this, because you have refused to attend to your calling, your dominion mandate. And our word is with you. God is waiting for you to respond so that he will speak through you for us. Prophet Jericho made a statement last time. I've been thinking about it. Said, if he had not yielded and God, by his mercy, called some of us, what would have been the situation of the prophetic ministry of this church? Or the entire ministry? And it was very true. You could have manned your business, chasing your law school, doing your business. Are we all not busy in life? Last one. Prophecy is meant to comfort. This is very important. Comfort means when pains are eased and burdens are lifted. Prophecy is what is applied to emotional wounds and psychological wounds. Prophecy. Comfort. Sometimes people can be so wounded emotionally, and God through you will give a word to them, and that wound will be healed. So if you read the book of Isaiah chapter 61, Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do what? Bind. Kavalasata. How many broken hearted have you bound? How many of them? People's businesses have collapsed. People have lost their family. Things have gone so bad for people. People are struggling. Sickness is buffeting them. And you see, you couldn't connect to heaven, and that God at that instant used you to speak a word. So people are still carrying their burden. When Jesus said, come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I'll bring you to what? To rest. We are in a very serious, that's why I said the word of God is precious in the church now. Because this is I'm talking about, it is the common diagnosis of the church right now, that people are not built, people are not refreshed, people are still under the weight and pains of life. It is a common diagnosis in the church now. Do you know why? Because that desire of God that we will all be prophet, that we may prophesy, we have neglected it, and we have shut that side of the, either by ignorance or either by what, intentionally being unyielding to God. But I pray for you. Some of us need comfort here. May God use you to comfort us. Amen. I said some of us need comfort here. It is not me alone. No, don't. You. It is you. I'm doing my. No. Don't. Your brother needs comfort. We are each other's keeper. The reason why you can't do follow-up these days is because you don't have anything to say. But God says, I should tell you that if you yield, he will speak through you. If you yield, he will speak through you. Do you know how a friend of mine saved somebody from committing suicide last year? Just by phone call. He was praying, and God gave him a word. He didn't know that the person was planning to do something to him, to herself. God called. He called and said, God said, I'll settle you. I'll settle you. That whoever has looked down upon you and taken advantage of you will see you and bow. The lady broke into tears, not knowing she has already gone to buy poison, about to prepare to drink, because she has suffered a lot of broken heart, rejection, and everything. What is so much about this word? It is not anything, but because it was spirit inspired. I pray for you. You see, we will save many lives, so because he desired that we will all be perfect. That the Spirit of God will be upon us. And when the Spirit of God is upon us, we will begin to release the testimony of Christ. And that testimony is where the therapy of the Spirit will come to them. So Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to do what? Bind broken hearted. I pray for you. This year we'll bind broken hearts. Amen. See, I pray for anybody here who the world has buffeted you by any means and angles. It could be sickness, it could be education, things that has broken you down. I pray for you that under the sound of my voice, may you receive that therapy in the name of Jesus. You will not continue under that burden in the name of Jesus. May God use this church to heal you. May God use this church to lift that burden from your head. When we refuse to attend to the prophetic dimension of our dominion mandate, we make the word of God precious. And when the word of God becomes precious, Bela begins to raise its head. That is why you find out that the sons of God are called Bela in the house of God, because the spirit of God is no more there. That I pray. Even the eyes of Eli was dimming her. The eyes of Samuel was activated. I pray for the rise of Samuels in the church. That the Lord desired that all his people will be prophets, and that his spirit will be upon them. I pray this morning, Kulabra Sandaha, that by you God will edify people. Oh, by you God will edify people. By you God will comfort people. I pray that the church will not lack direction. That there will be revelation in the church. Because I see that the spirit of the Lord is born one more time. He said, in the last days shall I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Let your word will be spirit inspired. The testimony of Christ. That people will see Christ. The Bible said that you will testify of me. When the spirit comes upon you in the book of Acts chapter 1. He said, you shall be my witness. Testifying of me as who I am. I pray for you that you will be a man who carried the testimony of Christ. That all his people were prophets. That all his people were prophets. And his spirit will rest upon them. I pray that they will key into divine counsel. Makombe labasatakaya. Hadenene akono moseteke. Elabranu na makasone takaya. Adoro momosine.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.